Chris mentioned, we have three girls, and we live just north of Seattle on a place called Whidbey Island. Have you ever heard of that? Yeah, quite a few of you. It's a beautiful place, and we love it there. We don't get a lot of sunshine during the winter, but during the summer, it's sunny there, so we love it. It's a great place. I also wanted to let you know that before I came to Long Beach a couple of days ago, I took out the map and I showed my girls. I said, hey, here's where Daddy's going, you know, and please pray for me as I'm at Long Beach this weekend. And they said, Dad, wait a second. Why aren't we going with you? And I said, why? And they go, look how close you are to Disney. So I told them, okay, next time I come to Long Beach, we're going to bring the family. We'll bring the whole crew down and stay a couple extra days and do the Disney thing. I also want to bring you greetings from our missionaries in Asia. I spent the first couple of weeks of January of this month visiting missionaries in Taiwan and in Thailand. And when I shared with several of them that I was going to be coming here, they were like, hey, please express our gratitude to the Long Beach Church. Please thank them for their commitment to Christ and your willingness to support missionaries. And you guys are praying and you guys are sending workers out. And you guys are giving to the Great Commission Fund and supporting missions. So they wanted me to say thank you to you. Several of the missionaries that I met have been through here at one time or another. And we could spend time, you know, dropping names, and you'd be familiar with a lot of them. But they wanted me to express their thanks. I want to invite you to turn with me to Romans chapter 10. As we dig into God's Word this morning, Romans chapter 10. You know, when I first got the invitation to come here, it was a few months ago, and I went out to this place not too far from my house. There's a state park there, and I like to go there every once in a while just to kind of be alone with God, just to kind of have a place where instead of me talking and Him listening, to find a place where He can talk and I can listen. And so I went out there, and I the only thing I took with me was my Bible and a blank notepad. And I said, okay, God, I have the honor of going to Long Beach in a few months. What do you want me to say? What do you want to say through me? And I had that blank piece of paper. And as I waited and as I prayed, God began just to kind of give me His direction, you know, an outline. I began to take notes, an outline formed out of that. And I believe this is God's word for us for today, Romans 10. And also I wrote on the top of that page, I wrote, LBAC Missions Conference. And I began to ask myself, you know, why do we do this? Why do we do this annual missions conference? Do we do this because this is what our church has always done and we have to do it this way? Do we do missions conference just to give our missionaries a chance to come back here to the States and they can report to us what's happening overseas? Why do we spend so much time and energy focusing on missions? Why do we do this thing called missions conference? And I think the answer is here in Romans 10. Starting at the end of verse 8, this is what the author says. This is the word of faith we are proclaiming to you, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and he richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? How can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Will you pray with me? Jesus, you are Lord. We believe that, and we honor you today, and we honor your word. And as we open up your word today, we pray that you would change us and make us more like yourself. We ask, Lord, that you would challenge us and convict us and inspire us to live for you and to help others to find you as their Lord. We pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. As you know, this book of Romans, the author is the Apostle Paul. And he starts out in verse 9 with this declaration, Jesus is Lord. Do you believe that? Amen. We believe that he's Lord. We believe that Jesus is Lord over every nation, every tribe, every culture, every people group, and he's Lord over every language. Did you know that there are more than 7,000 languages in the world? Jesus is Lord over every one of them, and he's Lord over the people who speak those 7,000 languages. He's Lord over every president, every prime minister, every king, every queen, every dictator. And Jesus is Lord over those who know him and follow him, and he's also Lord over those who don't know him or have chosen not to follow him. Jesus is Lord over those who proclaim his name, like we've done here this morning, and he's also Lord over those who've never even heard his name before. People that have never heard the name of Jesus, we have different names for them. We call them unevangelized or unreached. And the truth is there are still many unreached people around the world today. They haven't heard the name of Jesus. They don't proclaim him as Lord. They don't know him as their Savior. I want you to think about for a second that feeling that comes up inside of you when you lose something that's very valuable to you. Now, maybe that happened to you this morning. You know, you were at home, you're getting ready for church, you're ready to head out the door, and you realize, oh, where's my car keys? Where's my wallet? Has anyone seen my cell phone? And maybe you're like me, and you go, honey, have you seen my cell phone? And she'll say, no, where'd you put it? And I'll say, well, where'd you put it? And she'll say, well, don't blame me. You used it last night. I know none of you have had that conversation with your spouse. But I lose things. I set them down and I walk away and I can't remember where it was. So I start blaming my wife or my kids. Hey, what did you guys do with my stuff? Well, we didn't touch it. And then you get that feeling of desperation like, oh man, I'm late. Where's my keys? I got to go. And it's because I've lost something that I need. I've lost something that's valuable to me. Well, let's take it up a notch. If you have kids or grandkids and you're at the mall and you're looking at something, you turn around and you're going, where are they? They walked away. You call their name, there's no response. And instantly, just that panic, that fear that sets in, and you're like, oh, Lord, help me. What am I going to do? And you're like, wait till I find that kid. They're going to hear it from me. Just the desperation that you feel when something or someone that you love is gone. They're missing. You can't find them. You want them to be found. Think about that emotion that comes up inside of you, because I believe that's how God feels about lost people. That's how God the Father feels towards those who don't know him. He wants lost people to be found. The Bible is full of evidence of the compassion that God has for lost people. Look at this verse from Ezekiel chapter 34 in the Old Testament. This is what God says. He says, I will search for the lost. I will bring back the strays. I will bind up those who are injured. I will strengthen those who are weak. That's the kind of God we have. He goes after lost people. He loves them. He wants them to be found. In the New Testament, Jesus said in Luke 19, he said, the Son of Man came to this world to seek and to save those who are lost. You know, it's like Jesus is saying, here's my purpose for coming. Here's the passion of my life. I'm here to seek after lost people, to seek and save those who are lost. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, it says, God is patient with you. Thank him for that, right? God is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish. He wants everyone to come to repentance. These scriptures show us a little bit into the heart of God. It gives us a little bit of evidence into the heart of a heavenly Father who loves people. He desires for lost people to become found. You know, when we talk about lost people and we talk about unreached people groups, there's different categories. There's those who are lost. They have access to the gospel, but maybe they don't follow Christ, or they've chosen not to accept the truth. But there are those who are lost who have no access to the gospel, unreached people groups. I just want to give you a quick definition of what an unreached people group looks like. It means that they have no Bible in their language, no scripture, no missionary who's working among them. They have no evangelical church where they could come and experience fellowship and experience worship like we have this morning. There's no church. There's no known believers in their culture. And they have little, if any, access to the gospel. And the truth is, there are still so many people in the world who live this way. No access to the gospel. Think about what your life would be like for a minute if you had very little access to the gospel. If there was no church here in Long Beach, there was no radio station that you could turn on to listen to Chris Tomlin or your favorite worship artist. There was no bookstore that sold Bibles or CDs or other resources that you need to help you grow in your faith. There was no place that you could go to have fellowship or a Bible study or to be trained or discipled. Imagine what your life would be like if you had little access to the gospel. Would you still be willing to proclaim Jesus as your Lord? Would you still be willing to follow him? What if you were being persecuted for your faith? What if following Christ for you meant that your family was going to say, okay, we're done with you? Or your government was going to be hunting you down because of your faith in Christ? Would you still follow him if you had just a little access to the gospel? The truth is, many people in the world live that way. Here's some numbers for you, and these numbers just completely blow our minds. In the world today, there are 6,800 unreached people groups. That's a lot. 6,800 unreached people groups with little, if any, access to the gospel. And what that amount looks like as far as population is 2.7 billion. Not million with an M, billion with a B. 2.7 billion people that don't know about Christ. That is one-third of the world's population. They have little access to the gospel. Here's another number. It's the number 639. That's the number of unreached people groups that have a large population, like 100,000 or more. 639. That's a lot of people. And it just reminds us that we still have so much work to do. It reminds us that we want to be active in spreading the gospel. It reminds us, this is why we do missions conference. This is why we send workers out to the mission field to proclaim the truth that Jesus is Lord. I just returned, as I mentioned, from a trip to Asia, visiting the small island nation of Taiwan. And on that small island, the population is 23 million people. And it's like if you visit the capital city of Taipei, it's just wall-to-wall people everywhere you go. It was great. Then we visited the country of Thailand, 66 million people. And as you walk the city streets in the capital cities of Taipei and in Bangkok, you just get this overwhelming sense that you're kind of in a minority, not just because you're an American, but because you follow the Lord and because you're in a nation that doesn't recognize Jesus as Lord. The missionaries that we were there, they took us to several Buddhist temples. And there's a couple of pictures I want to show you on the screen. One thing that stood out to me visiting these temples was parents who had young children. And they were showing their young kids, this is how we worship Buddha. And the important thing in that culture was you don't come to worship Buddha empty-handed. You bring a gift. You bring flowers, or you bring food, or you bring something that you've made with your hands that has value, or a special card. You bring something and you lay it at Buddha's altar. But before you get there, make sure you take your shoes off and make sure you grab one of the incense so that you can light it. So here's a picture. You saw the picture of the young boy. His mother is teaching him how to pray. He's holding a flower that he brought as a gift and lighting incense, offering a prayer. And the same thing with this picture of the young girl, lighting the incense, offering her prayer to Buddha. And as we stood and as we watched, and hundreds of people were there, and there's the altar is just lined with gifts, and you wonder, people are speaking to Buddha, but is he replying to them? Are they hearing anything in return? And it reminds us that we serve a God who has come to us, and when we pray to him, he answers, he hears, he loves us, and he responds. Because Jesus is Lord. And you see these scenes, and I know many of you have been overseas, you've traveled, you've seen other cultures, and just the impact that has upon your heart when you realize that you have something inside of you that is so valuable, and you're just looking for a way to share that good news. And as I was in Asia, it just opened my eyes again to the lost world. It opened my eyes to the compassion that God has for lost people. Well, recently I had an eye doctor appointment. And I got into the office, and my eye doctor opened up my file, and he said, "Oh, someone's turning 40 this year." Thanks, Chris, for pointing that out to me. And I said, is that why I'm here, so that you could ridicule me? "Yes, I'm turning 40 this year." And he says, "Well, have you noticed any changes?" I said, "What do you mean?" He goes, "Well, with your eyesight, usually a person who turns 40 can experience major changes with their eyesight. You know, you might need a stronger prescription of eyeglasses or contact lenses or something." And I said, "Doctor, I'm in my 30s. I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm going to hold on to that as long as I can." And he went on to talk about, you know, as you get older, how your vision changes and you see things differently, and your eyes have to learn to adjust to that, and sometimes you need a stronger prescription. And as I listened to him talk about my physical eyes, I began to think about the eyes of God and what God sees. And I began to say, "God, would you give me your eyes for a lost world?" And I begin to realize that God's burden for lost people is huge. And I begin to say, "God, if you could give me just an ounce of your burden for people, if you could put that, if you could stamp that on me and allow me to see things the way he sees things, that would make a huge difference." And friends, that's my prayer for you, that you would begin to see things, see the world the way God sees the world, to see lost people through his eyes. Allow God to change your vision so that the older that you get, you realize life is a lot less about what's in it for me and what I get to do. And life is becoming more and more about what God is doing and how I can join him in that work. You're familiar with this song by Brandon Heath. It's called "Give Me Your Eyes." I'm not going to sing it for you because I don't want you to leave. But the lyrics go like this: "Give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so that I can see." Would you be willing this morning to ask God to give you his eyes for the world so that you can see the things that he sees? You can feel the burden that he feels for lost people. Let's go back to our text, Romans chapter 10. I think you would agree the Apostle Paul is a pretty good writer, and he's using a certain method and a certain strategy of writing here, where he's asking the church a series of questions, but in the context of that question, he's really giving us the answer. He does that a lot in his writing. Well, first of all, in verse 9, he begins talking about how Jesus is Lord, and how anyone who calls upon the name of Jesus can be saved. So he's talking to us about salvation. He's talking to us about what it looks like when a person repents. What does it look like when God changes a person's life? We call upon him, he answers, we can get saved. So it's almost like Paul is telling us, hey, we have this amazing gift. It's called salvation. It's found only in Christ. Now, how do we tell more people about this gift? If you've ever been part of a sales or a marketing meeting, think back to what that was like. Maybe your company discovered this new product. You had the chance to try it out. It worked well for you, and you realized, wow, this product really works. This thing has the potential to change lives. So now you're sitting in a marketing sales meeting with your coworkers, and the discussion is, okay, we've got this awesome product. How do we get it out there? How can we tell more people about it? How do we get it into people's hands so that it's accessible, so that they know what we know? It's almost like Paul is using that strategy here. He says, friends, we have this gift of salvation. We have Jesus as our Lord. How can we make him more accessible? How can we spread the good news about what he's done? Let's get the word out there. Let's proclaim him. And he goes through a series of questions in verses 14 and 15. How can people call upon Christ and believe in him if they've never heard? And how can they hear about the name of Jesus unless we tell them? And how can we tell them unless someone sends us and we go and we proclaim this good news? We have a chance here to be part of something very special, and that is to be on the sales and marketing team to spread the word about Jesus Christ. And if you're a believer and if you're a follower of Christ, you have that invitation to be on that team, to spread the good news everywhere you go. Look at verse 15. Paul's quoting the Old Testament. He said, "How beautiful are those who bring good news." And I just want to encourage you this morning, when you are active in sharing your faith, when you live a life where God's love shines through you, you know what God does? He looks at that and he says, "Wow, that is beautiful." And we can live a beautiful life when we allow the love of Christ to shine through us. We can live a beautiful life when his light shines brightly in our lives. So as we talk about missions, and as we talk about lost people, I want to encourage you to let the light of Christ shine through you wherever you go. If you get the opportunity to take a short-term missions trip and to travel overseas, may God's light shine through you. May God use you to reach many people. But you don't have to go overseas to spread the good news. There's a lot of people right here in Long Beach who need to know that Jesus is Lord. So let me encourage you, as you go to work tomorrow, be active in sharing your faith. Look for opportunities to talk to people about what God has done in your life. As you go to high school tomorrow at Milliken High School, shine the light of Christ on your campus. If you're at Long Beach State, do the same thing. Let God's love shine through you. Wherever you go, here or far away, let the love of Christ shine through you. Think globally in your missions perspective, because God cares for people everywhere, and so should we. But think locally also in terms of reaching people. And I think you've used this term before in your church. Think globally, right? We have a global perspective, but we act locally as well. I want to encourage you to do that. There's a couple more verses to put on the screen for you. In Daniel chapter 12, it says, "Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever and ever." And my prayer for Long Beach Alliance Church is that you would lead many people to righteousness. Jesus said in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 5, "You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before men. Let them see your good deeds so that they will praise your Father in heaven." I want to close with this story. Part of my time in the city of Taipei was not only to visit missionaries, but we also had a group of college students from here in the U.S. that we took over there to Taipei. And we got together with the missionaries, and we felt like God was wanting us to plan some kind of event that we could somehow be a blessing to the city of Taipei. So what we felt led to do as we prayed is we wanted to have an outreach event in the city. If you've ever been to Taipei, there's a shopping and restaurant and entertainment district. It's called Ximending. And this place just comes alive at night. You know, during the day, there's people on the streets and there's things going on. But like after the sun goes down, it's just people are everywhere. The streets are packed. And most of the people there are, you know, walking around at that hour of the night are you know, high school, college age, people in their 20s and 30s, kind of the younger crowd. So we decided, all right, let's have an outdoor concert. So we rented a stage in the downtown city park on a Friday night. And from 7 o'clock in the evening till 11 o'clock, we had live music. We had people sharing testimonies, both Taiwanese people from the local churches there, but also some of the American college students were getting up and just sharing brief testimonies, 3 or 4 minutes each. And in that public setting, we shared the gospel, and it was so cool to see people who were just there to hang out, or they were there to shop or going out to eat with their friends. They would come, and they would stay for 30, 40 minutes, and they would listen. And, you know, at first, they heard music, and they were like, "Oh, cool, let's go check this out." But then they would come, and they would stay, and they would hear the truth. And at the end of the evening, one of the Taiwanese believers stood up and gave a testimony. And then he said, I want to invite you to come. If you want to know more about Jesus, we want to invite you to come forward so we can pray with you and give you more information. And I'm so excited to tell you that 25 people came forward and they made a confession that night to follow Christ. And we praise God for that. And we believe that the angels in heaven were rejoicing over those 25 people. And we believe that God looked at that event and he said, wow, that is beautiful. Because those people that came forward that night, and hopefully more who stayed where they were, they made a confession that night. They confessed with their mouth that Jesus is Lord. And they believed in their hearts that God raised him from the dead. And they got saved. And that's a beautiful thing. And I want to encourage you, wherever you are, to live a beautiful life. How beautiful are those who bring good news. Let's proclaim the truth of God's love. Let's shine the light of Christ wherever we go. And may God continue to use this church, as he has for years, to lead many to righteousness. Will you pray with me?